to Calling Out with Susan Pinsky, a place where Susan can introduce to you psychics, clairvoyance, past lives, and paranormal experiences. Now, here's your host, Susan Pinsky.
This episode is courtesy of Apex M from In Control Medical. You can find a banner on drdrew.com and check out Apex M from In Control Medical. Also, check out the Dr. Drew podcast at Corolla Digital and the This Life podcast with Dr. Drew and Bob Forrest, available via Playroom Pods.
Well, hey, everybody. It's my privilege and pleasure to introduce the host of our show, Calling Out with Susan Pinsky, the very own Susan Pinsky.
Thank you. Welcome to Calling Out with Susan Pinsky.
We're sounding like a little kids playing with a tape recorder. Let's try that again.
That was beautiful. Let your inner child out. You are little kids playing with a tape recorder. That's your essence.
And the other voice is none of the Jen Kirkman.
Thank you, husband, and welcome. Welcome to Calling Out with Susan Pinsky. I'm here with none other than my husband, Dr. Drew.
I'll be in and out a little bit.
Who was doing a podcast out of your home is really great, because if your husband's around, he jumps on the mic because he just can't get away from it.
Well,
he loves it so much.
I'm a gigantic fan of your guest.
Yes. I have to explain how I got this guest. I got an email from Gary at Corolla Digital. He was so nice to say that you were over there with the pirate ship.
You were doing a Corolla show or something?
But he sent
no,
me
No, I just know Gary. Oh, okay. And so I emailed him.
Okay,
like, I'm obsessed with Susan's podcast.
This is Jen Kirkman. She's a big favorite of the Corolla crew, and she's amazing. Funny.
Wait, disclose the actual communication.
Before Rebecca gets here, I kind of want to do a disclaimer and say who she is.
But Gary actually sent an email saying what?
You say it.
I can't remember the exact language. It was good.
She actually likes your show.
Your show.
Actually, such a bad word to put in front of compliments.
And I was like, go fuck yourself. But thanks. I'll take her number. Definitely. I'm so excited. So I didn't tell you that.
We've been a fan of yours since Chelsea and Drunk History. Oh. We sort of encountered you. And so we've been fans since. So.
But I mean, it's kind of funny because he produces Lynette Corolla's show and Adam Corolla's and Drew's show and everything. So there's kind of this sort of group of, or this school of thought over there, that this is a big crock of shit.
With this particular podcast?
Yes.
And this
is all, I'm making this shit up, and we Google the crap out of people. And I literally like had this woman calling an MC from New York, and she was in the rain in her car on her phone.
Yeah.
And doing a psychic reading, and they thought it was all bullshit. And I'm like, she was Googling. I'm like, how do you Google and talk on an iPhone at the same time?
Yeah.
And you know what I mean? It's not like she was at her computer and she was like, we were giving her clues. Like, I don't tell anybody who's here. I don't give them any information. When Rebecca comes, she comes in completely cold. And half of these people don't even watch TV and they don't know any celebrities.
Right, it's not
anyways.
Like you have like Julia Roberts sitting here. I mean, there are people that make a living, but they're not.
Right.
Unless you're into what they're doing, you wouldn't know them.
This was over the phone, so you couldn't
see. Sometimes they don't even see.
But anyways, yeah. I mean, listen, it's all water on the bridge. I don't care. Be a skeptic if you want.
I'm a skeptic, but
I'm a skeptic too, but I love. Yeah.
But listen, do me a favor. Don't put the nail in the coffin for me podcast-wise, because this is show number 99, and I've been doing this for.
And you have the Jen Kirkman endorsement.
I got
myself. People love this. I love thinking about this stuff.
Okay, but now I'm going to tell you that Rebecca is by far one of my most important mediums in my life. I've known her for 20 years.
Have we known her that long?
Yeah, we have. Wow. It's amazing. And she's a very close friend of mine. Over the years, we've become closer and closer. We've built this dynasty. I've had a lot of really great people added to the group. She gets along with everybody. Everybody, you know, who knows Rebecca knows that she's the real deal. And I even think Lynette Corolla thinks she's the real deal. She even said that. But so anyways, I hope it works out for you. We're going to take a break. We're going to bring Rebecca in, introduce her. And thank you so much for coming in. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for listening to Calling Out with Susan Pinsky. Follow Susan on Twitter or Instagram at First Lady of Love. And check callingoutwithsusanpinsky.com for all the latest info and links to our cast of clairvoyance. Download new episodes every week from iTunes or callingoutwithsusanpinsky.com.
Okay, we're back. Hello, Rebecca. How are you?
Oh, I'm great. How are you?
I'm good.
We've been friends for 20 years.
Yeah, a long time. That. Can you believe that? I know. Oh my God. You know, time flies.
Yes.
But I remember when your kids were so little.
I may be adding up a little bit, but it's an average of 20.
So. Yes, and I, my son, Vincent, will never forget when we went to New York on his 16th birthday.
So fun.
And the kids went, well, we were in the meat district, right?
What was just getting going then, the meatpacking district.
Yeah.
So, we still go to that restaurant once in a while.
Right, and Vincent will never forget when you made the desserts.
Upstairs.
And it was just his birthday a couple of days ago.
Oh, it was. That's right. Happy birthday, Vincent.
Yeah, he's 24 now, but he mentions that birthday all the time. It's one of his favorite birthdays when we went to New York with you guys.
Remember, it was colder than shit too.
Yeah, that was the only thing that
degrees.
And you guys, I had a broken toe because I always have weird problems with my feet. And here
and
you guys.
I have a question for you. I've to this day, remember I made you guys in the cold walk over to the hall where Abraham Lincoln gave his Cooper Union address?
Yeah,
I've tried 10 times to get into that hall. Every time I can't get in
for some reason. No, we went there and, you know, because of my history with American history and Abraham Lincoln that my family married many times with him, it was really interesting being there, especially with Mary Todd Lincoln, who I've had very strange encounters with since I went there.
The Cooper Union address is the speech that got him the presidency.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
It was in New York City, and the hall is still there, the Great Hall. And I go by all the time. I want to just take a look at it. I want to be in the space where he gave that.
Yeah.
I mean, I know.
They
the
let
speech.
You inside, or you're saying that it's closed?
I've been hoodwinked every time by something. Every time I try to go in, there's an event in there. I can't go in.
Okay. All right. So this podcast isn't
a meaningful thing. Is it meaningful?
It was meaningful, and it was cold. But, you know, even though they were in shape, and I had a big broken foot with a size 10 boot on, I did.
You always have a broken foot.
I know I do. But that was one of the most memorable trips of our life. Nice. Really, seriously.
So, Drew, can you do me a favor?
Can
you go give her a cup of tea?
Yes, I'll get
she
it.
Needs a cup of tea. Yeah. I'm going to send you off.
Yeah, goodbye.
And we'll let you come back with
I know
the
I'm
tea.
Not
okay, so.
No. You guys are great.
All right, so now that he's gone, we'll get started. Sorry, I love my husband. He'll be back. Don't worry, guys. All right. So I'm going to let Rebecca just give Jen a reading and get started and just, you know, let it go where it goes, see who's here for her and try not to freak her out too much, Rebecca. But
I don't mind. No, you can freak me.
By the way, she ran over a mirror coming up my driveway today and it didn't break. So that's good luck, right?
I have some good luck, yeah.
Yeah, I was really excited when I looked in the mirror. I realized that my eyebrows were really, really out of control. So thank you for not breaking that mirror today.
I would have felt so bad.
Because I'm going to the Golden Globes tonight. I don't want to
have
eyebrows like,
oh,
you
need
a Neanderthal.
You look beautiful.
Yeah, the hair has to be on the head, not on the face, okay? So anyways, I'll let you get started.
Okay, now the first thing I wanted to talk about, Jen, is the color of your aura, which is very red right now on one side of you. And that usually belongs to people who are highly creative, whether they're in the arts or in a business way. It's really very, very strong around you. Over here, you have a lot of travel colors. That indicates that you will be traveling and that you will have opportunity to definitely travel next year into places, or actually this year it's 2016 and also 17 also. There's a lot about your residence in this picture that I see, your aura, which I call your storyboard. Uh-huh. And in there I'm looking at this place that has more wood floors than carpet. Uh-huh. It has a good energy in the kitchen area. Like I go in the kitchen, I feel pretty good about it. It is not only the only residence that you're going to own, though, because I see change also for you in the way of where you're living. So I don't know if you're aware of it or not, but it's definitely coming. So I'm just going to get a little, you know, kind of overview of your life, and then you can talk about the things that I talk about in about a minute or so. And in there, I'm looking a lot about your love life. Mm. And when I see that and I see this gentleman, I tend to want to say that, you know, and I could be wrong, okay? Sometimes when I look at him, but I'm feeling you're single.
Yes.
Okay, good. I was like, whoo, because I see that you'll be married, but you're not married at the moment.
Oh, I was married.
Yeah, but you're divorced from him, right?
Yeah, it's been a while.
Yeah, okay, because I still saw him around you, but I knew that you would be separate from him and most likely divorced. Mm. Now, you've known him in other lifetimes. I often talk about our multidimensional kind of relationships with people that we know, either from this lifetime or other lifetimes, and you've known him before. So it's not a bad thing that you married him. It was a closure, ending to a story.
It sure felt that way.
Yeah. And it's like painful because when you get in, it's not just like, oh, I got divorced, I'm like moving on. No, this is a painful transition to actually finish up something from another place in time. Mm. So it took you a little bit to get past that. You're open now, an open vessel to love, because when I really look at the news story, I look at all this pink energy around you. Well, I say get into the pink, okay? And
I'm just wondering, is there any chance, because I got divorced so long ago, uh-huh. and I was never really in love. I'm just wondering if maybe the person around... Well, I can see the closure thing for my husband, but I'm mm-hmm. wondering if, because mm-hmm. the pain was a more recent breakup. So I'm wondering if...
I'll go back to that, because there's a story here, but you have all new energy around you in love right now.
Yeah.
No, I do feel it. I saw your husband, so I know it's him. Mm-hmm. And then remember when I went and I thought, okay, she's single now. Now, I saw a man in your kitchen that was most likely not your first husband. When you're pretty young, I mean, you're still young, but you're pretty young when you married him, I think. But when I went into the house and I described him with the wood floors and the kitchen, I saw a guy standing there. And that's where for a minute confused me, because I thought he was your husband. And then I heard your grandmother, the female that's here, say, Jen, you need to keep your options open. And she showed me him. And he's kind of a good looking guy, actually. Mm. Very nice looking man. Okay. But there's something about him that I couldn't put the glue together with you guys. Mm. And it's something to do with his personality and his inability to, I mean, I don't know. He wasn't expressing himself as much as he seemed expressive. He didn't. He wasn't getting to the core of what his issues are. But does that make sense?
Isn't that how most men are, though?
It makes a lot of sense. Well,
No, he's complicated.
And the last person is in a relationship with the one I'm thinking of that mm-hmm. that resonates with. I'm not that young, by the way. I mean, I'm 41, but I look younger.
Yeah, you're
very young. But he spent a lot of time in my kitchen. It's really funny, but when I picture my picture in my kitchen.
Yeah, because his energy is still left there. His energy is resonating in your kitchen. So if you don't want that to be there, you get some sea salt or rock salt and you put it in your kitchen and that'll take that energy right out of
there.
That's
really funny you said that, because I mm-hmm. get sad when I go in my kitchen.
Yeah, yeah, no, you need to clean that up.
I see him there making his smoothies.
Yeah, yeah, yes. He was doing something in the kitchen where
Every day, three times a day.
And he's a handsome guy, you know, and he's not a bad person. It's just that there are some issues there that keep him from having the relationship that he deserves, because ultimately maybe he doesn't think he deserves love, or he doesn't, you know, I'm talking about, or there's some blockage there. And I don't know if he ever talked about his dad. There's a lot about his father and his relationship that goes back to other lifetimes also, but that's, you know.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. It's deep. See, you didn't know all about that, but it does. I'm telling you, it's like, why wouldn't he want a beautiful life and a beautiful woman and a beautiful house and successful? But every time he's making that smoothie, I feel like he almost thinks he doesn't deserve it. So he's like got questions in his mind.
I really resonate with that doesn't deserve it thing for him.
Yeah. And now there's a Michael around you too. No, it's a common name. It's going to be somebody who will help you or be helpful in some areas of your life. I think it's more business, but keep the name in mind, even if it's the last name of Michaels. Like, I know that it's common, but it's important. I kept hearing it being shouted out to me.
Okay.
And your mother's mother, mm-hmm. your grandmother, were you close to her? Because she's the one who's starting to help me here in this reading. And she's on the other side, right? Because that's what I feel like. She's like right behind us right here. And she said, Jen, it is, you know, it's sad, but it is what it is. Thank God you didn't marry him, have two kids with him, you know, so. Mm.
Wow, I resonate with her saying that.
Yeah, so she said, it's okay. You got to let that go. Though I do believe he thinks about you with good thoughts and with fond memories. It's not you. You know, it has something to do with him.
Yeah.
And so she wanted me to tell you that. Now, she is definitely bringing me to Chicago. So, and she says that's going to be a good place for you. So don't be surprised if you meet somebody new who talks about Chicago and takes you there and you have a lovely time.
It's so funny because the city I hate most in America
is Chicago.
I have to travel there sometimes for work, and I'm like, I hate it. I don't know what it is, and I'm no offense to anyone listening.
Thanks, Grandma.
No, that's funny.
No, but that's probably why she said it, because she says, Jen, when you go there, don't have a negative feeling about it. You're going to have fun. So she knows that that's the case. That's probably why she mentioned it. Of all the places, why would she say Chicago, right? Okay, so
wait, maybe she's talking about me because my daughter's in Chicago.
Nope, it's
Jen. It's not my spirit.
Okay. No, no, she told me
stop
to tell
trying
her,
to take my spirit.
It'll be okay. So,
I'm
so
if you block your reading, sorry.
No, if your new guy loves Chicago, just go along with it. Let's see what happens.
Just try it. Yeah,
yeah.
Maybe it'll change your mind.
Yeah, you will. I think you'll be like,
as long as it's not right now because it's 16 degrees outside.
Yeah, exactly.
No, it's not. It wasn't cold when you were going there. It was fun. And then she's also talking about your new projects that are coming up, and maybe having kind of a new team. I don't know if that resonates with you.
Yeah,
it makes sense, right?
Yep.
Right, because you're coming to another level, and that never that not that now I've gotten tucked on that other level will
that's
take
okay.
you to the new team. And so that's going to be really important. Love will fall into place. Okay, I call it get into the pink, light pink, sea salt bass dance, you know, feminine energy. I mean, black is okay, but black doesn't resonate that positive energy with love. It's more like color. And so, but I think you need to be like a little warrior with your job right now, your work, and really be the leader in what you want. And it will come to pass. You have writing talent also. I don't even know what you do, to tell you the truth. I hadn't even got there yet.
Yeah.
You have some writing talent for sure. There's no question in my mind about. Very funny. You also have the ability to do anything in the arts, including producing, directing, and on camera.
Yeah.
So, is that what you do? You do something?
I'm a writer.
Oh, you
and
are?
A comedian, yeah.
Oh, my God, I was right. Okay, good.
Yeah.
Yeah, because everything resonates, writer, 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 and very humorous.
Yeah.
And then I'm looking at developing a couple of, you could do everything though. You wear several different hats.
Yeah, I do.
So I see feature film. I also see pilot. I also see, I guess, comedy, live comedy.
Yeah.
But it's really strong around you that you can accomplish all your goals. And 2016 is lucky for you.
Mm.
Very, very lucky.
Don't you love my show?
Yeah, I do. I actually have felt, I get a vibe every holiday season about what the year is going to be. And it's a very deep vibe. It's not a neuroses. No. And I felt that 2015 would be very hard.
Yeah.
And I feel that 2016 is going to be very simple.
Yeah. Easy. It'll be easier. It's like because you're being divinely guided, you've come through some of your karmic garbage, as I say, and you're on to new. I also see something about NBC around you, Universal Studios. So I don't know if you're had been on that lot, but you will definitely go. For some reason,
I used to work on that lot.
Oh, you did?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because it resonates you.
Mm.
So maybe that makes sense. I don't know if I'm looking at the past or the future, but
it might be the past.
Yeah, it was really strong about a universal lot.
Yeah,
and you know, you definitely have somewhat of a
connection. That was some of my cosmic garbage.
Oh my God, isn't that funny? And of course, I bring that up. Okay, but anyway, all right. Well, anyway, NBC and getting out of the mucky muck and into a bright and beautiful future. You also have the name Danny around you.
Whoa, not a dead person though.
I don't know. I just heard talk about Danny.
Yeah,
yeah, and to be able to communicate with Danny is important, or it's a really strong name and it's really, it means something important to you. So what is your relationship with Danny? Does it feel good? Because it's supposed to be
Dan
good.
Is the person I'm working with that's part of a new team that's part of a project we're developing together in writing and in entertainment TV.
Yeah, that makes sense because that was part of the new, you know, the new flow, the new team, and I heard Danny was really important.
Interesting.
Yeah, so I feel like you're on the road to success. You resonate a lot about Ireland also, so you have
that's the second place I hate most of all.
Oh no,
I hate Ireland.
You know,
I had a terrible experience there 2 years ago, and I tend to recoil from American Irish people that are super into being Irish.
Yeah, isn't it funny? Because I'm hitting these places like Chicago, Ireland. But maybe that because I talked about also the karmic garbage that you've gotten through.
That'd be a funny stand-up bit.
Yeah.
I hate Ireland.
I hate Irish people.
I did it in Ireland. It didn't go so well.
Oh no.
But you know, I had an amazing reading in Ireland.
Yeah.
That came true.
No, because they have some of the best psychics in Ireland and even England. But there is something about those two places, Chicago and Ireland.
It's now, hilarious.
If we go into layers and layers of other lifetimes, you probably have some history there. Yeah. But I also feel like we're talking about getting rid of the karmic garbage. You rid yourself of it. Maybe it wasn't such a pleasant experience, but it was a powerful connection, those two places to you, actually. So I think next time, you know, if you have anything to do with Ireland or Chicago, it would resonate a little bit better.
Mm.
Nicer energy. Okay. I'm laughing because, of course, I'm picking those two places. But I'm also looking on your team with Danny. I'm going to go back to Danny now and yourself. And is there two other, there should be another gentleman there and two females. So you have the team of five or six yet?
Yeah. There's a lot of people in different teams that are part of it. Yeah.
Yeah, because it's going to be amazing. So stay focused to feel good about it. If you don't, go with it. Speak your mind. Tell them that you don't like it. And they'll listen to you. You have more power this year than you've had in any other year before here. Before now, I mean.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so now you will be married. No question in my mind. And happily, but don't doubt that, okay? Because it will happen. Your husband has a great sense of humor. Pretty cute, actually. I'm like, ooh la la. Okay, and... really, seriously, cutie.
He just better not live in Ireland.
No. I don't know where he lives, but he's definitely a nice looking guy, and he has a good sense of humor, and he doesn't want to change anything about you. He likes every little nook and cranny of your personality and your body, so he's not into changing. He's into celebrating.
Good. I like that word.
Mm-hmm. He's celebrating.
Dude just laughed.
Loves it. And now what questions do you have for me? There's a gentleman here now that resonates paternal figure to you. I don't know if he's your father or grandfather, but he's definitely behind you and wants to talk to you.
Oh, I have both of my grandfathers are passed. My father's still alive.
Yeah, it must be your father's father then. Okay. Because he resonates father paternal energy, and he's here to help you. And he's someone who, I don't even know how well you knew him.
Yeah.
But he was, he wants to help you with anything with your house. I don't know if he knew anything about land or carpentry or, but are you moving? Really, do you know about moving? Remember I said something?
Yeah, no, I'm in a place now that I love, but I travel a lot, like a lot.
Yeah, because I saw that. Yeah. There's traveling colors around you.
I go to different countries like three times a year. I travel America every few weeks. And so I rent a condo, and I'm very adamant about renting because I want to be able to come and go as I please. Right. And I was like, I wouldn't buy something unless it was the perfect place. And I always think, well, I wouldn't buy in LA. I'd buy somewhere else.
Well, it's actually, it's
Chicago
kind of,
or Ireland.
Yeah. but no, my, it's funny, you know, my grandfather, I actually don't know that much about him. He died when I was 11, and he had so many grandchildren that.
But he takes a real liking and a shine to you, and he knows that you probably rent, so you are going to be buying. I know it. I saw the property, and you were madly in love with it. You were like, oh my God, I never want to not have this property. Even if you weren't there full time, it feels like home to you. Mm-hmm. And he shows me the place where, I don't know if it'll need restoration or if it has some kind of historical content to it, but it doesn't really look like Los Angeles, but I could be wrong. Largemont has houses like that.
True.
So anyway, he's going to help you to find the perfect place. And you'll, when you walk in, you will feel like this is home.
You're moving to Largemont?
That's great.
Yeah, kind of a great area, but they have those kind of houses there.
No, I always said I would buy outside of... I guess I want to know, is anyone else coming through at all that...
There's a young person here that passed away, or younger.
Yeah.
That's coming through also, and knocking. Please let me through. Please let me through. And died without saying goodbye. So I didn't have much closure, I don't think. Yeah. So you had somebody close to you, sudden death of some type, or didn't get a chance to say goodbye. Is that correct?
Yeah, we weren't that close, but it was sudden.
Uh-huh. Oh, is it he though? Because there's a gentleman. He said, I'm here. I'm a man. I'm a male. Mm-hmm. And he knows a lot about you. So, or he knows a lot of people you know, because he's very close to you, believe it or not. He thinks you're so funny, and he likes to help you with your work sometimes. That's what he told me. And he talks about do you perform in some live comedy clubs?
Yeah.
Okay, because, you know, some of those are really haunted. So, you know, you'll feel energies in there. You have a lot of psychic ability, believe it or not, too. But he says he comes to help you with your material. He feels connected to you in some areas of your business.
Yeah.
And that that you know people he knew really well, I do believe. He says she knows some really good intimate friends of mine.
I do.
Yeah, and he told me that, I mean, he's making me laugh. It's, even though it's sad when he passed and all, he's cracking me up so bad. So, I mean, he's so funny. So I'm almost like, were you an artist or comedian yourself? Because you are funny as all get up.
Yeah.
And that he's sorry the way he passed. He's sorry. He says, I'm sorry the way that it went down. He feels like it could have been a little different. Does that make sense? Because I still don't know who he is.
Yeah, he's a funny person that had a drug problem. And but I was not, he always was very connected to me. I was very supportive and into what I did. And but I wasn't very nice to him.
Well,
I wasn't not very nice to him. I just, I always put him off because I, I knew he had problems.
Because he was a drug addict.
Yeah.
Well, sort of, but I didn't know that actually. What, I always thought he had a crush on me, and and I was just kind of obnoxious about it.
Well, he does. He does have a crush on you, 100%. That's completely accurate. And he did. He actually didn't look at it that way. He looked at it a little different, you know. And he just thought that it, the way that you did kind of push him off, it was made him made you even more attractive, in a way. And I believe that he's like, I could see him so clearly right now. It's freaking me out. But because you're a lot more psychic than maybe you recognize, he has an easy time communicating with you. But this is positive, not negative, what he talks about. And where's your connection to San Francisco? Do you have one?
I'm not lying.
It's the third place.
It's my third least favorite place.
Oh, God.
I fucking hate San Francisco.
Three for three.
So there must be something because it is so... When I go there,
I think it's your grandmother.
I get so, and I was actually thinking of it on the drive over here.
Okay. Really?
Because I just turned down something there because I don't. I get so cosmically depressed when I'm there. It's like I feel the energy. I feel suicide there. I feel addiction. I feel crime. I don't mean currently. I mean, I just never have a good time there. I've had horrible incidents there. I've had, the last time I was there was actually really good with my ex, but it doesn't resonate with me.
Well, you know what? I think what I'm doing is I'm picking Chicago,
been a lot.
Ireland, and San Francisco, because you definitely have...
I'm so strong with those places in my hatred that it...
Well, because you probably have some history there. You probably remember things that went down there that aren't good. You know, and they're pretty interesting cities. San Francisco had a lot going on in the day, and Chicago, of course. I was in Chicago and experienced a very strange incident in a hotel that used to be a bordello. I'm sure the woman got murdered in there. So there is places that we do recognize and remember, and I've just happened to hit all three of them.
I mean, it's crazy because I feel like my hatred for them is so strong and so gets me into trouble when I say it out loud that I would see that vibrating around me as strongly as... the places I love.
Did this drug addict comedian have anything to do with San Francisco?
No, not for me, no.
No, I think that I'm trying to get you to be more aware of like who you are and that these areas probably do resonate trauma or what I call past life post-traumatic syndrome, which is only, you know, you can't really deal with that with a conventional psychologist. It would have to be a little bit of a past life regressionist and maybe then going to somebody that understand post-traumatic syndrome, as Drew most likely does. So it's interesting when you get into layers and layers of your subconscious.
Yeah.
And there, I've picked out three places that you resonate negative energy, not positive. So, and remember how I told you you're supposed to get through the karmic garbage.
Yeah.
So maybe it was a good thing that you turned something down because you're like, look, I own my power. This place doesn't feel good to me. I'm not going.
Yeah.
Instead of putting yourself in a situation where it wouldn't be good for you. So that's why you're getting more powerful. And your energy is stronger and your choices are better.
I want to ask something about my grandmother. Is she... Mm-hmm. Without, because I've had some psychic experiences with her, but...
The mother's mother, right?
Mother's mother.
Yeah, maternal grandmother.
I don't know. I guess I just want to know. Well, I want to... I just want to know how she feels now that she's not here.
You know what? She feels amazing because she's lifted into more consciousness and she feels better. But she's like, she's part of your team, Heaven. She really does come to help you and to guide you a little bit. And she mentions two names that are so funny because they're Irish. It's Margaret and Catherine. So are you aware who those people are?
No, I don't know any. I know Not that's past. No, well, not that's here. No.
No, and the name Hattie. But I think that Margaret, Catherine, Hattie. And Hattie, it will mean something to you, but they might be characters. They might not be physical people. Okay. But keep the names in mind, even though Margaret and Catherine are definitely, you know, common, but Hattie isn't. So she's trying to help you in also your work. This is a really big year for you. It's a really big year in good ways. And that's what she's telling me. She's going to try to give you butterflies. She likes butterflies. I wanted to say hummingbirds, and she changed it. She made butterflies come out. Yeah, so I would say butterflies and hummingbirds, but she said butterflies, so I'm sticking with that.
Okay.
And then, now this is another place. If you tell me this is the fourth place you hate so much, I'll be like, oh, my God. But your grandmother's insisting that I do say Massachusetts and Boston.
It's where I'm from. Oh. And I fucking hate Boston. I am going on a tour this year, and
Jen,
I
love that you don't fucking hate.
No, I know. I
pretty easy to hate hatred spots with you.
I will tell you, my favorite places on earth are Australia, New York City, and Paris. But I, I swear that's where we're from. We're from Massachusetts.
Yeah, she said, just say it, Rebecca.
I don't really fucking hate it, but I have I have a lot of difficult feelings about.
Yeah, but she said, and she told me, look, she's probably going to say she doesn't like it, but it's okay. Tell her Massachusetts and some of the Boston area. Yeah,
she didn't like it either, so
no,
I feel better.
But isn't that funny?
Is that the city your grandmother passed away?
She passed away in Massachusetts, yeah. She actually never traveled anywhere. She's only been there.
No, because she told me about Hingham and Warham and all the places.
Mm-hmm. So you do a funny thing in your stand-up about your grandmother.
Yeah.
And I was dying. I thought it was so funny about when she passed away. But maybe Rebecca can shed some light on that. Also, you also have some recollection of something that was in her yard, which was like, which you've had dreams about, or...
Mm-hmm.
If you want to tell her.
Because her grandmother is 100% involved in her life. These are spots in the country she knew it would be interesting places that you would be able to talk about. But they all have something in common with each other. So maybe if you ever got a past life regression or something, you might find out.
It is interesting. I bet there's something there because my current life is Massachusetts.
Yeah, and she was definitely told me, just say it, Rebecca, just say it. And then she talked about, like, your grandmother was definitely had the spirit of an actress also.
Mm.
And but she never got to break out of her shell. So she lives a little vicariously through you.
Yeah.
And I think that's okay because she's actually quite funny herself. In some way. Right? And then she's like, cock-a-doodle-doo. I have no idea what that means. Okay? So, you know, one of those weather vanes that you put on top of the house?
Oh. I know what she's talking about.
You know what she's talking about, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, she says she'll get it. Just say, cock-a-doodle-doo.
It's the stupid thing my sister and I fought over when she died. It was not a real weather vane, but a piece of paper with a picture of a weather vane on it, and it would change colors, but it was always on her for 30 years. It was on her door and it never changed colors. Anyway, I always loved that. My sister got it though when she died.
Yeah,
so we ransacked her house after she died.
Well, she says she'll try to get.
I want to know if she was there when we were ransacking her house.
Yeah, she was. Absolutely.
I want to know if she was upset.
No, she thought it was quite amusing.
Okay.
She was like, wow, I wonder which one's going to like this. Or she tried to push you, go with it, get that area. And she had interesting stuff there. But she knew if she said weather vane that you would know what I was talking about. And she was hoping that you got a pair of her earrings, though, because she liked to share.
Well, I know. She always wanted to push her earrings on me, but she wore clip-ons.
I know. She wore clip-ons.
I did not take her earrings because
it hurt.
Well, you
can turn those into posts. You can change
the
clips.
Oh, I never thought about that. Well, it's too late now. I used to go to her house all the time, and she would put them on me, and I would be like,
yeah, because they pinch. Yeah, she said, they're clip-ons. I always wanted, because she's so pretty. And but she said, well, you know, that's okay. And then she did talk about the photographs, though, that you do have some, which was important, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, she said she does have photographs, though, and she hopes that in your new house, where you're settled in permanently, you'll put some
of those. With your hot husband.
Yeah.
Well, you know what's weird is she had this collage that I always loved of... And it's weird that you said earlier that she was like, at least you didn't get married and have two kids. She had two kids, and she often was not quiet about the fact that a large part of her regretted ever getting married and having kids. So, but she had this collage of my cousins, my uncle, whatever. Mm-hmm. And I always loved it. And it was in her kitchen where she died. Mm-hmm. And then now it's in my kitchen. And so it's interesting that you said kitchen. That's the only thing on the wall in my kitchen.
Yeah.
I wanted to keep that memory going. And and I can see it from my room sometimes when I'm laying there. And sometimes I get scared of it. I feel like she's in that frame. And I'm not someone that wants to be visited by ghosts.
Well, you know, the thing is your kitchen, it just resonates. Like, it has like a little opening there that it's easy for people to come in and out. Your old boyfriend left a story there. She left the picture there, or you put it there. She said, but in your new house, it'll probably be a different spot, a different energy. But she does know, she does come to visit, but not to scare you.
Yeah.
That's why she wanted to send butterflies.
I had a dream when she died, but before she died, that she was with me, and I looked at her, and she was young again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's where she looks. She doesn't look old at all. She resonates youth. People on the other side, most of the time, I don't see. It's hard to explain, but you don't see age because it's not the same. You resonate light, youth, and that's how she looks.
Is she with her husband now?
You know what? I don't see him.
Good.
I don't. I don't see him. She talks a lot about her siblings and her mom a lot, but not about that. Yeah, because see, she has this kind of vibe like you, like a working girl, like somebody who would have been more international. I mean, she loves her children, don't get me wrong, but it was, you know, she had more of an imagination and a spirit that is now she's happy because she's kind of freed to go the places that she dreamed about. And with her mom, she's with her mother, she's close
I
to
knew
her
too.
Yeah, she's a nice lady. They're both here. I don't have their names yet, but it's your mother's mother and grandmother, maternal side of the family.
Yeah, that's the only great grandmother I ever met.
Yeah, and so they're here with you and talking. And there's other people here that are, there's a Lily here, a Lillian. Do you remember who she was? And there's a woman with the name Anne. But you may not know who those people are, do you?
Yeah, Anne is.
Only Irish names.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's funny. And I'm not Irish.
What was your great grandma's name?
I think it was Anne, because that's my middle name.
Oh, it is?
Yeah, but I used to call her Ma Mère, because she was French-Canadian. Uh-huh. And so I don't know what her... I think it was Anne. I can't remember if it was Anne or...
Not Grand-Mère, but Ma Mère.
Ma Mère, yeah, because that's what my grandmother called her.
Uh-huh. Oh,
so that's what I was saying.
Because she was Ma Mère.
Yeah. But I don't know Lillian or... There's a Helen. I don't know, but those are the... That's the girl squad.
On Hattie.
Yeah,
Hattie is so interesting. I'm gonna have to. That's one where I'm gonna have to call my family. I have a feeling that's my father's side.
But I'm wondering if it's something. I just immediately started thinking about Hattie McDaniel.
Who's that?
She was the, and I don't know why.
Yeah.
But she was the, maid in Gone with the Wind, the black mammy.
Oh yeah.
Hattie. See, I'm wondering if it has to
would
do
she
with
be
this.
Here?
I, you well, never I just know. Don't know.
It's my celebrity.
I just started thinking about that.
Like, or a script. Well, yeah, go ahead.
I think more thing, but. I don't know, movies or Academy Award or something. Yeah. It's
yeah, it could be a character.
First, you know, Hattie was the first African American to get a kid. I don't know.
So there might be something with those names as scripted like characters, or it means something, but it's in the future. You'll find out what it is. But they're still about the ad name. So you're Jennifer Ann. So that's you have to be named after somebody.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, they know that. And then they also, that's why the names, I should have thought it was French, because I kept hearing the name like Juliette. And that sort of reminds me of French.
So, yeah.
Or Jeanette. I don't know. It's something. Yeah.
They call you that?
My grandmother's name is Jeanette.
Jeanette. I knew it.
I'm going to freak out.
Okay. It took me a minute, but I kept hearing Jeanette. So I was like, okay, it's Jeanette.
Yeah, we used to speak French together at the,
the
kitchen table.
Uh-huh.
Which but I haven't retained a thing.
Well, Jeanette is here.
Yeah.
And I'm sure her mother, maybe it is Anne, but there's an Anne back there too. And they love you so much. And powerful a duo over there, along with your buddy over here, is cracking me up.
I want to ask you about the travel aura you saw, and then what you meant by the pink.
Yeah, the red.
Go in the pink.
Yeah, the red is always connected to people that are in the arts of some type, but it could even be creative business. It doesn't have to be like acting, comedian, but everything around you was writer, funny as all get up, humorous, and blah, 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 blah. It was all the red energy. Now, the travel energy, when I looked at you, I'm like, God, she travels a lot,
because
there was all these, it's like roads and agendas, and it was all in your, what I call your storyboard. And then we went to the pink, which I'm like,
I wanted to see her married, and I heard no. Jeanette say, no, my granddaughter is single. And so what I say is get into the pink is a formula that I have that I created because of when I wore light pink, a lot of men would reproach me. It didn't matter if I was skinny or fat or young or old. So I said, there's something with the color light pink. So I did a whole study on it. So what I'm saying to you is the black is good for Saturday. It's actually powerful on a Saturday. Okay, but light pink somewhere on your body will resonate love. It could be a cashmere light pink sweater. Mm. It could be a scarf. It could be fingernail polish. So put a little pink on your body somewhere, okay? Mm-hmm. Then what you do is you take a sea salt bath and scrub to take any energy or story off of you from prior lovers or people that just weren't good for you, okay? And then you take a dance class. I don't know when you would have any time to do that, but dancing opens the love heart chakra. Mm. And then from there, you get a rose quartz that you could travel with and hold it and program it in detail to what you want. But a lot of people forget if they want healthy, they forgot to ask for healthy sexually. Well, because a lot of people don't do that. And then they come back and say, this person has this and that, whatever. Mm. So I said, put in there healthy sexually. And if he has a problem that you can deal with it. Okay. Now, this morning, well, right before I came here, my last client, I told her to get into the pink. Mm. And she was in there with her Australian fiance that she met.
She was laughing.
Okay. Okay. And he happened to be quite wealthy and very handsome.
Billionaire.
Yes. And she didn't know that when she met him. She didn't know. And the big, beautiful rock on her finger. And you know what? They resonate everything. They're the same culture.
So we're saying Jen's going to have a billionaire? We fly me
I just
plane.
Broke up with an Australian.
A billionaire?
Well, no.
Well, you got to fly us around in your private jet if you get the billionaire.
You got to get, you got to, it's a, the thing is, it's not
I'll
just
live
about,
on a private jet.
Yeah. It's not just about money. You want somebody who compliments you.
Yeah.
They happen to be the same culture, same religion.
Who wants
same
to get into the pink?
Yeah. My son said that was very... my grand...
Super pervy.
Thank you, Susan. Well done.
My son said, that's nasty, Mom. Myself. That doesn't sound good. That's nasty, Mom. Don't say that. But I'm still saying it. Get in the pink. It's all about love.
I hear you, sister.
Drew's blushing.
It's all about the pink.
Yeah, no, a lot of what you said resonated with the big year. I have a book coming out this year, a book tour to go on.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of traveling. I'm writing a pilot. We're waiting to see if it's getting picked up.
So that's all kind of stuff. You got a lot of stuff going on. And it, like I said, put your pink cashmere on or your, you know, whatever. I mean, you know, it's...
What do I have a pink shirt.
Yeah.
It's hard to find pink stuff, too. I've tried.
I know.
Not that I need to find love. I was actually wearing pink when I met Drew.
Oh, interesting.
Ah, see, Drew, you were.
I think it's going to accidentally happen because I'm in no way ready for anyone to come.
You were wearing that crazy sailor shirt.
No, no. When I met you, for real.
We had a date. You were wearing pink.
No, when we met Loveline,
right,
I was
right,
wearing
right.
pink from head to
right,
toes.
Right, right.
Like, seriously, right. like pink stripes, pink, pink, right. pink. Like,
I'm telling you. And it don't do it if you don't want to resonate that because it does work.
Mm. And those little lace socks, you know, with the pumps. You know
80s.
What I mean? It was very
80s.
What? Oh, okay. I was like,
1983.
Oh, no, that's all right.
Yeah. I was 22 years old or something. 23.
All right. Well, anyway, that's my formula.
Oh, wow. That was cool. Thank you.
I saw you wearing socks with pumps on stage and you're...
By the way, everyone thinks this. Those were boots.
Oh, they were?
They were blue and gold boots from this company called United Nude. I bought them in New Orleans, a city I love.
Mm-hmm. I saw the shoes. I saw the shoes.
Oh, my God.
That was a great show. I want you to tell everybody about your grandmother, though. Unless it's, like, not appropriate for...
It's totally appropriate.
I think it's so funny. She sounded like quite the character.
She really... Well, she was named Class Wit. So she really was funny. She had a real dark sense of humor.
Yeah, she's got something going on there.
Yeah, and she...
This is Jeanette.
Jeanette. But she...
Bonjour, Jeanette.
She would what was I saying? Oh yeah, she lived in her own house, and her husband died when he was 60. She lived till 99.
Whoa.
And after he died, she was just like, he wasn't a great man. I think he used to cheat on me. She was like she went into this men suck phase. She went on one date with some guy he took her to McDonald's, and she was like, what a cheap bastard, took her to McDonald's. And so she was just like done with men. And so she didn't want to go to assisted living. And she even had pneumonia at age 98. And we were all like, this is it. She didn't die.
Oh,
she didn't even
God.
Want to go to physical therapy rehab. And so anyway, she lived in her own house, did her own laundry, blah, blah, blah. And she, wait, I don't remember what the funny part, oh, that's what it was. She used to say her husband, Freddie, this is why it's funny she's not with him. She really Catholic believed in purgatory. Mm-hmm. And she used to say that every night there was a knocking above her wall. And mm-hmm. she said it was Freddie in purgatory. And she needed to, she needed to pray for him to get out. And she, her theory was the if you had a bunch of people in your life that prayed for you, you could get out of purgatory. Right. And she thought she was the one holdout. But since she thought he cheated on her, she said she would just yell at the wall, "Go to hell, Freddie. Go to hell, Freddie." So that's what she did every night. She heard the knocking. She was very spiritual, but more in the superstitious realm.
Right, right.
Because she actually thought God hated her, and that's why he was keeping her on earth for so long. Oh, wow. She was like, he's very weird Catholic yeah. stuff. And so then at 99, she died, but she died, and this is horrible, but she died on the kitchen floor in a bra and nothing else.
Oh.
And
Oh, I have to tell you something. Sorry to cut you off. Okay, this is so funny. I have to tell you, when you were talking about doing her own laundry, I didn't want to say this because I thought it was disrespectful. She was talking about her undergarments
yeah.
and her panties. Okay, no wonder she didn't have any on when she passed. Oh, God, that's what
she used to wash them in the bathtub because uh-huh. she had a laundry that was all the way downstairs uh-huh. and so I think at a certain point she just started washing her underwear and
she didn't have any clean underwear that day.
I forget the garden thing. What was that
part of your stand-up? Yeah,
this part of your stand-up?
No, the garden thing was just a real thing that
it
happened.
Was Uh-oh. Personal when Uh-oh. She emailed me, she said that she could smell
yeah when I was gonna say when I died when my when I passed a few in 2008 when my grandmother when my grandmother died in 2008, I was living in an apartment building that there was no the back. There was no yard. It was just a parking lot in the back, mm-hmm. and that my bedroom faced it. And I woke up in the middle of the night sneezing because the smell of lavender was so strong. And I remember in my haze of waking up, going, "Oh, it's just the lavender bush outside," and coughing and sneezing. Mm-hmm. And I said to my husband at the time, "Like, sorry, it's a lavender bush." And then in the morning, he's like, "You kept saying the lavender bush and making you sneeze." We don't have, and I was like, oh. And then my mom called me and said, you know, they were getting crap out of the house and her backyard was all overgrown with lavender. Mm-hmm. And so, and then, yeah. So I thought that was, I was like, is she coming to me? Because I had so many dreams about her.
Oh, yeah. She just, because you lived the life that she only dreamed of. And she was funny as all get up. She, mm-hmm. she could have actually been successful in the same way that you are. So she doesn't regret all of her life and mm-hmm. all, but she loves to live, like I said, through you a little bit. And,
yeah.
And you could, she likes to help you and she thinks it's, she loves to laugh. So she's like, you know, she's definitely a big part of.
Go ahead and use her in your stand up.
Yeah, I will. She always used to say, I'm just out for a good time.
But, yeah, but she loves to have a good time. Yeah. So Jeanette, I'm so happy that you came today. She says she wouldn't miss it for the world. And remember when you addressed her, she addressed you back the same way. But I'm not about to even try to attempt the way she said it.
Bonjour, monsieur.
Yeah.
It's so weird because when my grandmother died, mm-hmm. I went to her house and we weren't allowed to take anything because my uncle was a cheap bastard and had to auction everything. I had to like pay for stuff if I wanted it. But anyways, I was searching through all her stuff. I did steal a few things though, just because I thought he was a jerk. But I was going through like all her stuff and she had all these crazy costumes, like wild costumes, like Carmen Miranda and then all these like really sexy, crazy things. And, you know, she had like pink satin drapes in her bedroom. And I was like, God, I always wonder, like, what were they up to? You know, kinky mm-hmm. grandma, like, what the heck?
I think my grandmother had pink curtains too, but I think that might've been the time.
It was. Oh. I was just sort of curious. I was like, wow, this is kind of interesting stuff. But everything was so methodically put away because she lived in Cleveland and it was cold and she lived there till she was 99 too. Oh. So it was like, but she was in her house and everything was like perfect, you know, except for, you know, the fact that it was full of mold. But, but you know, it's just always really interesting to look at, you know, their history and stuff and wonder, you know, what they were like when they were younger. And
I know. I think about that all the time.
You're going to ask something.
I was going to say, what was I going to ask about? Something about my grandmother, pink
closets
before that.
Oh, costumes. Sorry.
Costumes. I don't remember. Wait. Oh, my God. Wait, it was important. Pink costumes. My grandmother. Shoot. I can't remember now.
You'll think of it.
Yeah, I'll think of it.
Well, you know what's funny is your grandmother talks about Lucille Ball a lot because, you know, in the day she was like the top
female comedian.
Yeah.
And her timing is so perfect. So I believe that your grandmother says that you have timing like that, and that you're not exactly like Lucille Ball, mm-hmm. but your timing is good.
Thanks,
so
yeah.
She thinks that's amazing. And believe me, she talked about this guy named Jack that was really important to her at one point, that had nothing to do with Freddie. So, you know, somebody who was just somebody, you know, she did know people and she liked to talk. So, you know, somebody who she may have, you know, but she could be also talking about, was it Jack Benny?
Yeah, it could be, yeah.
Yeah, she when she watched the TV in the day, the black and white,
yeah.
She did like to watch the comedians.
We used to watch I Love Lucy together. We'd also watch when Star Search used to have comedians on. Do you remember? We'd always watch the comedians.
Oh, yeah, no, she loved to watch. She liked comedians because she was funny herself. So, and then she talked a lot about you and, I guess it's like, she said you liked Paris like you talked about, but there's this one place in Paris that you resonate really positive energy, and your grandma talks about your lifetime maybe there. So, and there was a gentleman that you knew, and his name was Paul, and he was a big influence in your life. So do you know a Paul now?
That's her son, my uncle.
Oh.
And one of my closest friends is named Paul. I haven't seen him in a while, but but no one dead named Paul.
No. I think there's, but your Uncle Paul is alive, right?
Yeah.
Okay, there's a connection between, I don't think it's your friend, I think it's your uncle.
It's her son.
Yeah, there's something to do with your connection to this family, why you're in this family, and to actually more with your Uncle Paul than you know.
That's really
interesting. Can you call Paul and tell him his mother, Jeanette, is watching over him and that she loves him very much?
Yeah, Paul was her, well, this is a family drama, but. According to my mother, Paul was her favorite.
Well, it's not. I don't know.
That's how Paul's an influence on you through your mom being so resentful.
Yeah, and there's a story behind that. I don't think Paul's her favorite. I think she just connects to him easier.
Paul is actually, my dad's family has a lot of uncles, and God bless them all, but Paul was actually what I call like my normal uncle that like, doesn't send me chain emails about Donald Trump, you know. And he and I just saw him at Christmas, and we always had a very big spiritual connection. I always used to be really afraid of him when I was little because he had a beard and I was afraid of beards for some reason. But he always used to like to screw with me in terms of, he believes in ghosts. We talk about ghosts all the time. He would tell me about all this paranormal stuff that would happen in his house. And that was just like Uncle Paul and I could always be found talking about. Mm-hmm. And he was the one that found Nana, and he had a giant... he was trying to scare me the entire time we were ransacking her house. But he feels very much like I do, in terms of he feels and senses and dreams things and has...
It could be that Paul too, but I know she's insisting that you call your uncle, and she told me that. But it's just...
No, it's him. Yeah, I'll tell him.
You tell him, and then the other Paul is on your dad's side, you said?
No, I just have a friend named Paul.
Oh, no, then it is your uncle. Yeah,
yeah, it's my uncle. Yeah.
Oh, that's why. Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
It's her son.
It's
and
her
he
son.
Found
yeah.
her.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, that's it. I had it right.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, and then she.
Lucky Paul.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure it was a thrill for him. So his mom naked.
She says, well, it didn't matter.
No, it didn't. Oh, that's what I was going to say that I remembered. Some of the stuff I did take from her, because she always used to say, I'm just out for a good time, and she'd always want to play. She started taking antidepressants in her 80s.
Mm-hmm.
And then she'd have a glass of wine on it and get a little tipsy. And she would get like, why don't you guys want to have fun? She loved gambling.
Mm-hmm.
So I put a few objects of hers in my like home bar area. And whenever I have people over or something, I make sure to just say, guys, I say hi to my Nana. She's here. And, you know, in a little lamp or a little crystal dish, I have her dish on my coffee table like she had when I was growing up. So I think about her all the time. She's always around, and I'm always trying to show her a good time. I take her rosary beads with me when I go around the world. So I brought her to Australia, brought her to Ireland. I brought her everywhere.
She says, when are you taking me to Hong Kong?
I'll take you to Hong Kong, Nana.
That's interesting.
Go with me. I'm going.
Are you?
Yeah.
Oh, you are?
Yeah.
I'll give you my rosary beads.
For my 25th anniversary.
Oh, how fun.
Cool.
Look at, Drew's not even paying attention.
No, he's like.
He's like looking at his phone.
Yeah, so, but maybe it is Susan, because somebody said, say Hong Kong.
That's funny. Yeah, I don't have any plans.
I'll take you, Nana. You can come with my mom. I was just thinking how my mom would probably get along with her, so they can both come.
Yeah. So, and you may have something to do with it. Traveling ghosts. It may be Susan's too, because Susan's here. So
that's so cool.
And well, you know what? She's ever present, and she loves gambling because it gives her that adrenaline.
Me too. Yeah. I love gambling.
Yeah. So she's having fun with that, and then
not a lot though. Yeah. I mean, I don't gamble a lot.
No, she didn't. The casinos weren't closed, so she couldn't go that.
Yeah,
often.
Yeah. She didn't go that much, but when she got hold of a slot machine, she would go nuts.
Uh-huh. God bless her. I like your Nana. I'm so glad she showed up today.
I know. Me too. I knew she was. I knew she was going. If she didn't, I would have been pissed.
No, I think that she was actually with me even in my office, because the last thing I said to the Australian guy is, do you like gambling in Las Vegas? He was like, not really. So I was like, okay. I think it was your grandmother.
Must be the next person.
Already coming in. All right, Jeanette. And you know, you were powerful. So yeah, it's all good.
She knew you were coming. Mm-hmm. So, Jen's book is called I Know What I'm Doing and Other Lies I Tell Myself. Tell us a little bit about that.
Oh, yeah. Well, I wrote a book a couple of years ago about how I don't have kids. And this book is more like a well-rounded, it's all different kinds of things. Like I have essays about traveling, about when I got divorced, about, you know, relationships I got into after I got divorced, weird, mostly a lot of travel stories, stuff with family, blah, blah, blah. So it's essays for all different kinds of things. And my editor at the time was like, make it like an unconventional advice book. Like, hey, if you're an unconventional, you know, turning 40s in my book.
Sure.
And I, as I was writing it, I thought, I don't have any advice because I don't think the way I do things is best. And I have no attachment to being one way. I'm not like, I'm single or I'm, right. I'm just like, whatever happens, I'll go along with. And I'm open to evolving. So I didn't want to write something like that. So I just wrote her in an email saying, I don't know what I'm doing. And like, I would be lying if I said, and I was like, that's the book. I Know What I'm Doing and Other Lies I Tell Myself. So that I kind of rewrote a bunch of things with the angle of don't do this, but if you have, it's okay. You know, it's supposed to be like a, I'm okay, you're okay. I never read that book, but it's supposed to have that vibe of.
So it'd be a great book for someone like my daughter who's like not looking to get married and wants to travel and make a living.
It's an empowerment book.
I think everyone should be with, if you want to get married, you should be empowered by this book. If you don't, you know, I think it should just be like, it's okay.
It's a book about acceptance, right?
Acceptance and accepting where you are and being like, I don't even like where I am, but I'm here. And, you know, sure, I had a great time doing it. I think, yes, because I have to be in acceptance because it's hard for me to be. Even if my acceptance is like, I'm fine with my life, but I know other people aren't, you know, I have to accept that too.
Who are the other people?
Just society at large.
What? We're all society. Who the fuck is that?
It's just voices in my head.
Okay.
Yeah, no, it's
different.
That.
Jeanette. Like, Jeanette isn't happy with you.
No, she is. She would have loved. But it, yeah, so it's just about that kind of, well, you know how it is. I get annoyed with the word single because there's a word married, which means usually you live in a home with your partner. There may or may not be children, and you are most likely monogamous. When you say single, that could mean anything. You could be, it's a legal term. So it could mean you live with your boyfriend. It could mean you're polyamorous. It could mean you're celibate. It could mean you're this. So if people ask me if I'm single and I say yes, I never get the chance to then explain
what that is,
what that means to me. And it's usually this, oh, you'll find some, as if, and I want to say, I have found people. And I'm not good at finding people, so I need to take some time and not find people. That would be where my life needs to go. And I'm going to tell you the stories of the times I found people, and to the outside, it looked like everything was perfect. I'm going to tell you what was really going on. So I want to validate that for people, like,
okay, good.
Especially people that had to come to my, that had to be involved with me when I was a married person and probably thought that I was really annoying, because I was.
Is your Because why?
I was like, who wants to come over? I have cheese and wine and snacks. And single people were like, why would we want to sit in? We're not married to you. Why do we want to sit in your house? We want to go out and, you know, try to get laid or something. I was like, I don't get why everyone doesn't. You just sit there with all the stuff you registered for. Like, why doesn't everyone want to come over? We've got so many dishes, fun stuff.
Is your stand-up going to fold up in your book?
Well, a lot of the book is about, a lot of my stand-up that's in my special that's out.
Yeah. Netflix
is it has ended up in this book.
Got it.
So now all that's being pretty much retired. But the essence of I Know What I'm Doing, like the book tour I'm going on, is going to be stories about times in my life where I really thought I was nailing it, and then I realized I was acting really recklessly or stupid. So there'll be like more of a storytelling book tour. But yeah, my stand-up is always about what an idiot I am. In a good way. Like when I look, well, I can always take apart anything I've done and go, didn't know what I was doing, was acting like a confident a-hole.
It's sort of the golden age of female comics right now, isn't it? Comedians.
Think so. I mean,
a little bit of a gold, little bit of a.
Well, you know what's funny is when I grew up in the 80s, as a kid watching TV, I remember seeing all these comedians that weren't famous. Like, I don't mean to offend them by saying this, but like a Susie Essman, a Judy Gold, Elaine Boozler, all these people were not like household name rock star famous like the way certain comedians are now. Like, and so I always thought there was a million comics who were women, and then now we're just part of the mix and it's okay. So there's like a million. I think like 10 years ago, people go, there's not any funny women. Like, there's not any women. Not that they're not funny, but there aren't any. I go, there's so many women who do comedy. They're just not famous. You don't know them. But weirdly, the guys that do comedy that weren't famous, like rock star famous, you'd know who they were. They have a special out every once in a while. And now women are part of that mix. So there's a lot of us.
I would argue even.
And then the rock starry people that are rising are women. Yeah.
Right. Other than the Louis and the Kevin Hart and stuff like that.
Yeah.
The women are it.
I think so.
Yeah. And I'm wondering if Chelsea helped propel that. Because when I think about the people that stood out in her panels, it was always the female comic.
Absolutely. Yeah. I'm sure of it. Because I think, too, and it's weird because a lot of my audience is, you know, I don't have a specifically female audience. I would say if I did, I'd probably be super, super famous. Because I think when you have one type of audience, they carry you through. But a lot of my audiences are men or people in relationships. I think people finally realize, oh, women aren't just going to talk about things that relate to women. Like, they're people too. I really think that was just.
Do you have favorite female comics right now?
No.
I know you hate them all, but anyway.
Yeah, I hate them all. No, I don't, because I just resonate with who resonates with me. Like, I never think of their gender really, because I don't think that like their gender means they talk about certain things. Like, Joan Rivers was one of my favorites and was a friend of mine towards the end of her life. Mm. And fuck you for not coming through, Joan.
I didn't see her. No.
That's all right. She's busy. She's got a gig. But
you got to call her.
but she was. But I don't know who. God, I love Maria Bamford.
So good.
I wish I could be.
She's good. Where is she right now? Because like, she turns up and then she goes away.
Yeah, she's around. I think she's working on a TV show for Netflix, I want to say. She's got something good going on. She is.
But she talks about stuff that's hard to make fun of.
Yeah, she's an old friend of mine, and I used to open up for her on the road years ago, and she was sort of diving into that stuff now. And imagine a room full of people at this mainstream comedy club in Cleveland, and she's talking about suicidal ideation. They're like, what? And now it's like she's found her people. And I think that's what's helping comedy too, is everyone can find their people. And so you can have these little, whether you're a podcast or a small tour, your people will come out and find you. And so people that are cool with that kind of honesty are out there for her. Yeah, I mean, she's amazing.
Can I cut in just a minute? Okay, right when you said Joan didn't come and, you know, F you, she's here and she's got a pink jacket on and she's like, I'm in my pink, okay? I'm in my pink. And she's encouraging you to speak your mind. She's like, she's cracking me up so hard, but it's hard. I don't want to repeat what she says because I'm not going to be her, you know. But she actually told you, and she's got a big rock on, so she's like this. It's okay to get a big rock. It's okay. Accept it. Accept it.
She's like,
accept it.
She used to always yell at me about money stuff.
Oh, is that funny? Mm. Yeah, because she's like, accept it. And then she has her pink jacket on, and she's like, and she looks really young. Mm. And she says you're going to run into her daughter soon. So I don't know how well you know her daughter, but she told me about you running into her just unexpectedly.
Yeah.
And then she talks about someone named Alan. So I have no idea who that is. But if you meet an Al or an Alan, I think it's Alan.
Alan, like a woman's name? Or no, Alan, like
Alan,
a man's name.
Alan, A-L-L-E-N, Alan. He might be to your benefit. So she's going to guide and help you, actually. And she's serious about this rock, this ring. I'm not kidding. She's like
that's funny. We've had a conversation about stuff like that.
Right. And then she told me to tell you the most important thing on the road is to have comfortable shoes. Fashionable, but comfortable.
That look like pumps with socks.
That are boots.
I don't know. She's on the shoe thing.
That's funny.
Comfort is key. I agree with her.
And she's so funny because she says, I don't want to say this, but I'm just going to do it.
Do it.
Because she looks so young now. She's got her.
What does she say?
Come on. Say it.
She's like, I'm looking so good I can wear a thong. I'm embarrassed saying it, but she's like, look at him, I'm looking good, I got my thong on, I got my, you know, she's good.
It's funny you say that about the rock thing, because mm-hmm. we had this emotional lunch once and we were talking about, she was just saying, she loves comedians like I do. Mm-hmm. She was like, they don't love you back. They want like stupid women. And so, I mean, she had a little more negativity around it than I do. But
around other comedians?
About men, male comedians.
Oh.
She had a very negative point of view about.
Well, men, every comic I know hates other comedians. Not, either explicitly or somehow subconsciously.
Oh, yeah. I know. It's
not
weird.
Not the women so much. But no.
But she was saying like, you're going to get your heart broken by male comics because they want someone who's coming home and cooking them dinner and whatever. I don't totally agree with that. I think it's a little different these days, but I was always just saying like, but I'm not looking, you know, people should be so lucky. I'm not looking for like a big ring or to be this. And she was like, why not? She would always yell at me. And she,
would, take the big
ring. She would always be like, why aren't you looking for people to buy you things? So that was her big thing. And I was like, oh, I'm just not like that. And she was like, stop it. She'd always go, you stupid ass. You stupid ass. No,
she's like, really like, accept the ring. Yeah.
Are you going to do another drunk history this year?
I've done five. And I can't.
Are you going to do another one?
Is it coming back?
Yeah, I think.
I can't.
Yeah, pretty
I can't.
Sure.
I can't.
Sure.
I can't. The hangovers.
Kill you.
The hangovers are too bad. And
I'll do it with you.
The thing is, I'm blacked out. But you can't be there. You can't drink.
Why not?
Because you're Dr.
Drew. Oh my God! If you saw Drew when he drinks,
you get enough hell anyway.
Oh,
that's
true.
That's true.
I mean, can you imagine if you? No, but see, the thing is, and
when
I've
Drew
said,
drinks, he turns into Adam.
Oh no!
It's kind of scary.
I go like four drinks for me. Four wines, four and a half, a whole bottle, let's say, is probably all I need to do an episode.
Yeah.
Once I hit that, I black out and I keep drinking, but no one knows I've blacked out. I've blacked out. Every single one has been in a blackout. So I always say to Derek, ask me if I'm
Derek
in a blackout. Yeah, Derek Waters, who created it.
You can't tell if you're in a blackout
you,
when you're a blackout.
You can't.
The blackout's after the fact.
But oh so this God. Time, I was. He did ask me, I think, and I said I wasn't. And then
you don't
came.
Know when you're in a blackout. You don't know.
No. Yeah. And I woke up and was doing drunk history, and I was like, I guess I'm, you know, I've blacked out every single time, and
oh
I wake
God.
Up towards the end when we're wrapping up. So and the hangovers are so bad.
I bet.
I went to get one of those like Hollywood IV treatments.
I can't believe you did it five times.
Not a bad idea.
It didn't work.
Well, it's only so much you can do.
Because I thought it had hydrating stuff in it. It just has vitamins.
Well, it has fluids, too. I mean, you get fluids.
It has fluids, but it just...
Listen, you only do so much for withdrawal. So.
I feel like I want to do it again if they ask me, but I don't really have 2 days free to get over the hangover.
Yeah, yeah. Be an extra.
Yeah, do the acting.
I mean, but I'm so competitive with Drunk History because I...
No kidding, you did it five times.
I'm one of the originals, and he calls me the queen of Drunk History, and I... can't relinquish the throne. Like
you
if it comes back for another season, and people said short-term memory that they only
know
the
I
season
know.
You've been in.
Yes.
And people are always like, I saw your Drunk History, and I get mad. Like, yeah. What do you mean my? I've done five of them. So I don't know. Is it coming back or you don't know?
Derek said yes. And Duncan said yes too.
Damn it.
Duncan has already been given his history. Like what he's going to do.
He has?
That's what he said.
Oh God.
Okay. Well, here she goes. Drew. Competitive. I'm going to text him and say.
I'm in. And I want to act
in
either yours or Duncan's. I don't care which one. But
yeah, I want you to.
Yeah.
I'll have to. Well, I don't know what I'm going to do.
So you'll be talking
you
with a woman's
voice. You don't get to choose, do you?
Well, Jason Alexander talked
in
my voice this year. And it was so cool. It's so cool. Like, it's a cool thing to be part of. But it unfortunately attracts a lot of people who think I'm a drunk. And that's like, they come to see shows because of it and not overwhelmingly, But it's like, I'd love to drink with you. I'm like, you wouldn't. I'm boring. Like, you don't want to drink with me. Yeah, it's not that interesting. Yeah. I'm not always like that, you know.
I can't imagine being able to tell a story really well when you're that
wasted. Yeah, that's the part that amazes me, that you guys are able to actually tell the story, not just coherently, but it flows to, I'm sure
they probably cut.
I think it's the editing.
No, but you get it out there. You get the history in. It's amazing.
I guess because, yeah, I don't know why. I honestly think it's like my history of like just being in comedy and having to perform under weird circumstances.
Yeah.
Or just like, I don't know, yeah, doing things in an altered state sometimes. Like, I'm just thinking of all the times, like, I used to have such a bad fear of flying, and I'd take Klonopin when I fly, but I'd have to get right off the plane and go do something important, and I just had to go right through, you know, I've done hard. A lot of things.
So which ones were you on? Because I remember you being on it, but I can't remember what you were doing.
The first one I ever did was Oney Judge, who was a slave. That was, like, online only. She was George Washington's slave. Second one was Don Cheadle and Will Ferrell. I did a... Franklin and, I mean, Douglas and Abraham Lincoln.
That was online too, though, wasn't it?
That was online. It ended up airing on HBO, and that one won Sundance.
Yes, yes.
And then...
that's the best one.
Another one I did was Winona Ryder as Mary Dyer.
Also a great one.
A Boston.
Yes.
Someone.
No, it was the... She's not Aaron Burr, but Benedict Arnold's wife, right? Wasn't it that one?
No, she was a religious freedom person okay, that lived it. In Boston. Yeah. And then I did... the wife of the president that had the stroke, Courtney Cox
Wilson.
Did it. Yeah, Edith Wilson.
Yeah.
And then this past year I did journalism. This guy, Thomas Nast, that was a political cartoonist that took down this huge New York City fat cat jerk person.
Right, the Tammany Hall.
Tammany guys. Hall, yeah, which I didn't know anything. Most of these things I knew nothing about,
wow.
Which is embarrassing.
Not really, because he picks little slivers of history that are interesting.
Well, I remember crying in the Mary Dyer one going, and there's no statue of her in Boston. Meanwhile, there totally is. And I used to live down the street from it, and I used to walk by it 90 times a day. Like, somebody took a picture of it, and they're like, yeah, there is. They tweeted it to me. I was like, oh. But that's how little I look up and notice my surroundings.
Well, you love Boston. So
I can't believe those cities. That's the craziest thing to me. That is, there is something there that I need to work through or right. represent. I mean, it really amazes me how strong my negative comes through.
Well, you know what? I think your grandmother was even hitting the hot spots. I had a hard time saying single too, but she kept saying, say she's single,
mm-hmm.
which is hard for me too, because when I have a person in front of me, when I say you're single, I mean, you have a boyfriend, but you're not married. So I get it when you say that, because it's confusing me.
Yeah.
It's confusing for me as a psychic also. But your grandmother was hitting hot spots with you, getting you to like look at them.
Yeah.
And she has a reason for that. And I don't exactly know what it is.
I don't either.
Mm-hmm.
I think Rebecca did a wonderful job.
Thank you. Well, she was a bit of an open vessel, and your grandmother's very loud. So
you're an open vessel.
In combo.
I'm too much of an open vessel.
The pink.
Please get into the pink.
Okay. Okay.
Listen to Joan. Accept the ring. Accept the ring.
And get into the pink. So where can we find you, Jen?
JenKirkman.com. One N in Jen, everybody.
And at Jen Kirkman on Twitter.
Yes.
Which, is Twitter ever going to exist in the future? And Facebook probably
as
well.
Is that a Rebecca question?
I don't think it's going away.
Let's reframe it. When are we going to get rid of
it? She predicted hovercraft, and we now have drones.
CES has a hover drone.
Yeah.
You can fly.
I hate drones.
Yeah, but you fly in it.
Remember, Rebecca, when you told me there were going to be hovercraft?
Oh, yeah, but I hate, like, backyard ones.
Yeah, I said hovering cars, and I know you guys thought I was kooky. But you know what? I talk about the future a lot of things, you know, that people can't see. And I can see it. I'm a very big visionary.
Mm. Well, she sees stuff, and we're like, yeah, yeah. And then it happens.
Well, it's a big year for Jan. That's going to be interesting.
Yeah, I'm going to keep Hattie in mind. I'm going to call my
and Margaret
later.
Margaret and what was the other name?
Catherine. Mm-hmm. Now I feel like it has something to do with a story, characters in a story, something that is more artistically driven than just me.
Were any of those
Margaret.
In your drunk history shows?
Maybe uh-huh. she'll do the history of Hattie McDaniel.
Yeah,
you know, first African American.
Oh, that's right. I'm like, wait, who?
I don't know.
Yeah,
me too. I'm with you. Drew remembers everything.
Not anymore.
I don't have a memory.
So anyways, if you want to check out Rebecca Fearing and get a psychic reading or a clairvoyant reading or a evidential reading or whatever she calls it this week, you can find her at RebeccaFearing.com. Mm-hmm. Get a reading. And also, what else do you want to plug, girlie?
I have a podcast called Dancing with Ghosts.
Oh, of course.
We're on our seventh year. Yay.
She's my competition, so I never announce it.
But. I know. But people know both our shows, Susan, especially in the Midwest. So thank you, the Midwest. And
I know. Thank you for listening to Rebecca and coming to Calling Out with Susan Pinsky. Yeah. I really appreciate it.
All around the United States, actually, people do call me, say they heard me on Susan Pinsky. And also, I have a book coming out. And it's called How to Develop the Power of Intuition. It's not out yet, but it will be soon. And I don't know. I'm kind of all over the place, too. You might find me, you know, in Minnesota or New York or California. I don't know, you know, where I'll be also. So we're kind of resonate that same kind of energy. So, you know, but I'm easy to find and I'm easy access. And you don't have to wait 2 years for a reading.
Any TV shows you're on recently? Or
Easy Access, Open Vessel, In the Pink. I just have to say.
And wait, don't you? You can't tell us.
Well, yes, we are going to be in a show next year. I can't talk about it, but it'll be very interesting.
You guys gonna do it?
Yep.
Oh boy.
Enjoy.
Okay, and then also, you can find us at callingoutwithsusanpinsky.com. Also, I'm at First Lady of Love on Twitter. Love to hear from you guys, and we'll keep the show. I just also love doing 99 of these podcasts in the last 3 years, and we're on to number 100 coming up. I'm going to take a week off and go to New York with my husband, and just because we need to put something really special together. And not that this number 99, though, I have to say.
It's a good one.
But thank you again, DrDrew.com, for sponsoring this show. And listen to This Life with Dr. Drew and Bob Forrest on iTunes. Go to thislifepodcast.com and have a wonderful week.
You know, somebody told me the Bob and Drew thing is getting like really big.
So I'm obsessed with that podcast.
Why don't you come on it?
I will. I'll come on. I love it. I love Bob Forrest.
Come on today. He's coming here in about half an hour.
Really?
Yeah, and Amber Smith is going to come on. You can be part of that one.
No, I don't want to interrupt and get in the way.
We are. If you haven't noticed, we're just like we just chat. Come on.
Thanks for listening to Calling Out with Susan Pinsky. Calling Out is a Playroom Pod production. Download new episodes every week at callingoutwithsusanpinsky.com or iTunes. All music for the show is provided by Rayvon Owen. Thanks for listening.
Now I'm not trying to be rude, but hey, pretty girl, I'm feeling you. The way you do the things you do reminds me of my Lexus coupe. That's why I'm all up in your grill, trying to get you to a hotel. You must be a football coach, the way you got me playing the field. Give me that tutu, you give me that beep beep. Running our hands through my fro, bouncing on 24s while they playing on the radio. It's the remix to Ignition, hot and fresh out the kitchen. Mama rolling that body, got every man in it wishing. Sipping on coke and rum, I'm like, so what, I'm drunk. It's the freaking weekend, baby, I'm about to have me some fun. So bounce, 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 bounce. Now it's like murder, she wrote. The way I get you out and close, privacy is on the door, but still they hear you screaming more. Girl, I'm feeling what you're feeling. No more hoping and wishing. I got to take my key and stick it in the ignition. Give me that tutu, give me that beep beep. Running our hands through my fro, bouncing on 24s while they say on the radio. Mission, hot and fresh out the kitchen. Mama rolling that body, got every man in here wishing. Sipping on coke and rum, I'm like, so what, I'm drunk. It's the freaking weekend, baby, I'm about to have me some fun. So crystal popping in the stretch navigator. We got food everywhere, as if the party was catered. I got fellas to my left, honeys on my right. We put them both together, we got juking all night. Yeah, after the show is the after party, and after the party is the hotel. hotel lobby. Now round about four, we gotta clear the lobby and take it to your room and somebody. Girl, we up in the street, fogging windows up, blasting the radio in the back of my truck.